Did you know this? Kids in primary schools can have mental health problems, but there is a new program aimed at dealing with this. Kids Matter Primary will be rolled out to 1,700 schools over the next 3 years. 400 already have it. This program, which is a federal government initiative, comes at the same time as the government's being criticised for not funding enough school counsellors, but expanding its school chaplains program. Mark Butler's the Minister for Mental Health and Ageing, and he joins me now. Welcome to Life Matters for the first time, Minister.
Thank you, Richard.
What does Kids Matter do?
Kids Matter is a program designed to do a number of things, but essentially it's all about building the resilience and the coping skills of primary school aged children. We know, as you said in your introduction, that fully one quarter of all common mental health disorders emerge before the age of 12, which is a surprise, I think, to many in the community that people so young can experience mental health disorders. We know that two-thirds emerge before the age of 21. So mental health, uniquely among the major health conditions that confront Australia, is essentially a condition that emerges among young people. We know that most major health conditions, diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease and the like, are really diseases that impact at middle age or later. This is a condition, mental illness is a condition which really requires us to focus resources on children and on youth.
So what are we seeing at primary school? What are we seeing in these kids who have these problems?
Well, mental health takes a range of different, or mental illness, should I say, takes a range of different forms. It's not the same type of mental illness you might see on the streets among people who've suffered from schizophrenia for a long period of time, but it tends to emerge in terms of the child's emotional and social development, so their capacity to form good relationships either with their family or with peers, their capacity to deal with the inevitable knocks that come along in life, even come along at a primary school age, their capacity to adapt to learning at a primary school, in a primary school environment. Those sorts of things are important indicators of the emergence of mental illness, which, if it's not picked up early and dealt with, can spiral into something very serious in adolescence and in adulthood.
There's already been a pilot program. What was the actual difference in children after it was implemented in their schools?
Well, there was an evaluation of the pilot program. The pilot was only done at 100 primary schools, but it covered some thousands of students. And the evaluation was funded by Beyond Blue and conducted by Flinders University. It showed very good results in terms of the broad picture at school community, school community level, but it also one of the objectives of Kids Matter is to pick up children early who are experiencing social and emotional development difficulties, and get them to some support very quickly. And what the evaluation showed is that those early identification systems worked well, and those children were able to be put back on the right path to learning and building relationships with their peers and with their family.
If my children were at a school where you were bringing this program, what difference would I notice in what was happening at their school?
Well, a lot of primary schools are picking these sorts of things up anyway. I mean, I've got kids at primary school, and when I go into their classroom, they're not a Kids Matter primary school, but you see the sorts of tools that you might not have seen 10 or 20 years ago in most primary schools. The encouragement to have emotional resilience and to deal with those knocks and to talk up if something's not right. Those sorts of things are pretty common in schools, but Kids Matter really brings a much more definite shape to them. It gives a lot more support to school communities, both to parents, but importantly also to teachers, so that they feel very confident that they've got the right approach and they've got the tools and the resources to help them build the skills of all the children in their class, but also to identify those few children in their class who are having some difficulties.
On Life Matters today, my guest is the Minister for Mental Health and Ageing, Mark Butler. It's the first time we've spoken to him. We are talking to him about this Kids Matter program, which is going to be rolled out, I think, over the next 3 years to 1,700 schools across the country. It's aimed at giving primary school kids more resilience because, as the Minister's already alluded to, we do start to see mental health problems emerge really quite young, and it's great if you can nip things in the bud. Minister, might it be as effective or nearly as effective to have for these kids to have better access to trained counsellors at schools, because the government has been criticised for not funding enough of these?
Well, there's no single silver bullet at this age. What you need are systems that can pick up difficulties as early as possible, and we rely primarily on teachers and families to do that. So this is really about giving teachers particularly the tools to do that. But those teachers then need to know what to do with the children they've identified as having some emotional and social difficulties. You need a good referral pathway, both within the school to some counsellors, but also beyond the school. So we've been advised very strongly not just to focus on the Kids Matter program, but also to build the capacity in the system to be able to refer children and their families to support if they are having difficulties. So school counsellors are part of that, but it's also important to look at the system beyond the school. So mental health professionals in things like family mental health support services, counselling services and things like that.
Well, as there have been complaints, there aren't enough counsellors. At the same time, the chaplains program in schools has been expanded by 220 odd million in the last budget. And this is increasingly controversial because chaplains, many of them, have no professional training in counselling or psychology or welfare.
That historically may have been the case, but Peter Garrett released, the Federal Schools Minister released a discussion paper about the chaplaincy program recently, over the last few months, I think. And one of the very clear objectives of that paper was to lift the professional qualifications of chaplains. That's something that different organisations auspicing the chaplains program have done anyway, but we want to see it universalised, if you like, so that people who are employed under the chaplains program are able to demonstrate that they have some professional qualifications in counselling.
In the wider community outside of schools, GPs who were counselling people with mental health problems or managing their cases at least have had their Medicare rebates cut also in the last budget. Psychologists lost some of their rebates and have been arguing that the patients are the losers. Now, it's just been announced just late last week there will be a Senate inquiry into the funding and administration of mental health services. Do you welcome that?
Look, I'm comfortable with it. The Senate decided last week to initiate an inquiry into a range of aspects of the mental health reform package that we announced in the budget in May. One of those issues will be the changes to the better access arrangements that you just mentioned, Richard. But there are a range of more positive aspects, I guess, of the mental health package that the Senate will look at as well. And I'm confident that after significant analysis, which these Senate committees undertake, that the senators will be satisfied that this is a well-balanced and a comprehensive package.
Well, it's interesting that almost every doctor organisation, psychology organisation, put out a press release yesterday or the end of last week saying, we've really lobbied for this, we want it changed. At the moment, you don't have the professions, the mental health professions, particularly on side.
Well, I don't think it's right to say we don't have the mental health professionals on side. The doctor organisations representing people whose rebates are going to be impacted by these changes have indicated they oppose it, and that's not a surprise, I don't think. I mean, that is their job, to lobby for the maximum income for their members possible. But I think that what they lobbied for over the course of the last couple of weeks was a Senate inquiry that just focused on the reduction to GP rebates. And I'm very pleased that the Senate has decided to undertake an inquiry into the whole of the package so that they can see the entire context in which we made the changes to the GP rebates. And I'm very comfortable that the changes were made on a sound basis following a very comprehensive evaluation of the Better Access program and our analysis of BEACH data, which are data that track, I guess, the time and motion study of GPs.
Can I ask you a couple of questions with your other hat on, Minister?
Sure.
If there was a big psychology conference in Brisbane last week where Associate Professor Margaret Patrickson from the University of South Australia urged companies to enable older workers to make a staged exit. Actually, this is both hats, isn't it? A gradual reduction in work is better for them physically, mentally, and financially. Do you agree that employers should be doing more in that regard?
I do, but I don't think the responsibility sits entirely with employers. I think this is a very broad community responsibility. Now, we are going through, excuse me, we are going through or about to go through a seismic shift in the way in which the community is structured. The ageing of the population, particularly the ageing of the baby boomer population, is going to mean a very different split between people traditionally seen as in the workforce, 15 to 64-year-olds, and those either younger than 15 or over 65 who are out of the workforce and rely on significant government services. This is a seismic shift that we've known has been coming for some decades, but we haven't prepared perhaps as well as we should have. And there are two aspects to it. One, from a community point of view, we need to be able to continue to nurture and benefit from the skills and the education and the training that the baby boomer generation has built up over the last few decades. But also from their point of view as individuals, 65 is a very young age to move into retirement and not to be doing work day in and day out. So I know that people who are turning 65 tell me all the time they do want to think about ways in which they can continue to contribute through paid work or through volunteering or a mix after they turn that age. And it's true to say, and I think the psychology conference picked this up, that as a community in Australia, we haven't been very good at developing a reverse gear in the workplace. People move up the ladder and then they move out.
Mm.
There's not a lot of understanding about ways in which you can move up the ladder, hit a certain age, decide you might not want to work 60 hours a week anymore, and start to step down the ladder instead of getting off the ladder. Now, Ricky Ponting's an example perhaps of an exception to that, but by and large, there aren't many occupations or sectors in which that is encouraged, and we've simply got to get better at that, both from the point of view of the individuals concerned, and that's something I'm very focused on, but more broadly, we really do need to find ways in which we can continue to harness the skills of that generation as they move beyond 65.
Minister, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Butler is the Minister for Mental Health and Ageing, and this is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. Richard Ady with you. Next, how a Southern Sydney lifeguard has dealt with the refugee experience while being watched and talked about by seemingly half the nation.